So far sa ating sinimulang series pa last month, we have looked at touching the lepers, fighting for women, and caring for children. Perhaps it is arguable na of all the sectors of sufferers na pag-aaralan natin, none is suffering more neglect, perhaps even contempt, than the people we will be studying today, and that is the prisoners, yung mga bilanggo. After all, kung isipin natin, the attitude to prisoners most likely is that they're getting what they deserve. Of course, the assumption is tama yung sentensya sa kanila. They are guilty of a crime at sila'y nakulong. At nararanasan nila, nagdurusa sila dahil sa kanilang kasalanan, dahil sa kanilang krimen. So in other words, there is the attitude na they are getting what they deserve. And because of that, ang attitude ay mabuti nga sa kanila. Parang ganun ang nagiging attitude. And then idagdag mo pa rin yung syempre because they are criminals, quote-unquote, hindi maiwasan yung association with something evil that they have done. Therefore, these are evil people. And it's dangerous to even get close to them. Kaya nandun yung takot rin. Nandun yung panghamak, nandun yung takot. At dahil dyan, pagsamahin mo yung dalawang yan, very powerful yung repelling force na iwasan yung mga bilanggo. And that is the reason why perhaps of all sufferers, they are the most suffering from neglect, from contempt, and the state of prison. Kung pag-aralan natin sa kasaysayan, ito yung pinakamadaling mapabayaan pag merong scarcity of budget. Sila yung hindi agad iisipin at taasan yung budget para sa state of prison or prisoners. Yun ang hindi iisipin kaagad. Kumbaga, they are very low in the list of priorities of a society. At dahil dyan ay yan ang madaling kalimutan pagdating sa compassion. So the story we will study today is one that is very fascinating to me. You have heard me very often use as an illustration itong story ni Charles Colson. And I'm using him not just for the story concerning prisoners. In fact, as a man who was very close in the corridor of power, siya'y talagang malapit sa pinakamakapangyarihang tao noon, ay naranasan niya yung maging makapangyarihan. And from Colson, we will also learn many things. In fact, a Christian philosophy of power in government. At yan ay gagamitin natin sa ating story ngayon. So departing from our previous cases, meron akong laging pair of stories this time. So fascinating to me is Charles Colson, and I want to focus just on him. Born in 1931. Now, tandaan natin, yung mga Kristiyano nga dapat ay may mataas na pag-asa doon sa mga nakakulong sapagkat marami tayong istorya sa nakalipas na kung saan kumilos ang biyaya ng Diyos at yung kanyang kapangyarihan doon sa kulungan. Probably you have heard me very often use as illustration John Bunyan, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, among others. Nasa kulungan sila nung gamitin ng Panginoon ang kanilang mga panulat at naging makapangyarihan. And they are just two examples, and I can cite many more from what I know and from my readings. Kumbaga, kumilos ang Diyos kahit sa bilangguan, yung biyaya niya, hindi niya iniwan yung mga bilanggo at yung kanyang kapangyarihan ay naging mabisa sa pamamagitan ng mga nabilanggo. At makikita natin that, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ exercised compassion on those who were in prison. And therefore, Christians have scripture as well as history to motivate service to prisoners. But rarely has this been done. But one such person who is associated with compassion to prisoners is Charles Colson. Born on October 16, 1931, in Boston, Massachusetts. Yung kanyang pinanganakan ay dapat meron siyang strong Christian background because Boston, Massachusetts became the settlement of the early Puritans or the early Pilgrim Fathers na lumayo sa England para iwasan yung persecution. Nagsettle sila sa tinawag nilang New England. Yan ay Boston, Massachusetts, ang isa sa mga lugar na yan. But Charles Colson did not have that kind of Christian upbringing. Instead, he had a very intellectual upbringing. He attended Brown and Eccles School, Cambridge, 1949, and he earned with honors yung kanyang bachelor degree sa Brown University in 1953. And after that, he studied yung JD refers to Juris Doctor or Doctor of Laws. Si Gibo ay Master of Laws sa Harvard. Si Colson ay Doctor of Laws, again with honor, from George Washington University, 1959. Isipin nyo, talagang matalino itong taong to. Lahat ng pinag-aralan niya with honors at natapos niya doctorate siya sa batas. Talagang magaling na abogado. But not only that, he served in the U.S. Marine Corps, reaching the rank of captain. That's from 1953 to 1955. But early on, Colson became involved in politics. He became an active member of the Republican Party, helping in campaigns. So hindi siya mismo yung tumatakbo na maging kandidato, kundi siya yung nasa likuran ng mga kandidato at dito siya kikilalanin. So he helped campaigns of some senators and others. And then he founded in 1961 the law firm Colson and Morin, which became a very prominent law firm doon sa America and particularly in Washington. So there he was in Washington. What better place could you be in kung ang gusto mo talaga ay power? Well, the seat of power was Washington. So there he was in Washington and he had a great career for him. So Charles Colson then in 1968 joined the campaign leading to the presidency of Richard Nixon. Now let me tell you that I am also fascinated with Richard Nixon of all the presidents. Binabasa ko mga biographies na available for presidents and none fascinates me more than Richard Nixon. Isang presidential advisor ng, imagine, 6 presidents. Si David Gergen, siya ngayon ay consultant ng CNN. Pero naging advisor siya ng 6 na presidente. Sinabi niya sa lahat ng presidenteng pinanilbihan niya, that included Nixon, Ford, Reagan, Bush the senior, and Clinton, and yung lahat ng pinagsilbihan niya, including Carter, the most brilliant was Richard Nixon. Can you imagine? Clinton, brilliant yan. Educated sa England, pero sabi ni David Gergen, the most brilliant was Richard Nixon. Pagdating sa kaalaman, sa history, sa batas, lahat daw talagang napakagaling nitong si Nixon. Yet, meron akong 2 books. Yung isa ay Profiles of Audacity, and then yung isa ay Profiles of Folly. Isang taong parehong nandoon ay si Nixon. Some of the greatest acts of diplomacy, like diplomatic relation with China, détente with Russia, siyang may pasimuno niyan. So, a really brilliant man. And yet, alam natin yung may i-associate sa kanya in a while, we'll mention it. But Charles Colson became involved in the campaign leading to the presidency of Richard Nixon in 1968. And he was appointed as special counsel to the president, served as the president's political liaison with any organized group to garner support. So malakas yung kanyang posisyon dito kay Nixon. In fact, his closeness to the president earned him the nickname Nixon's Hatchet Man. Alam niyo yung Hatchet Man, yung monster na kumakain ng tao rin. Ganito raw si Charles Colson. In fact, may sinabi siya rin sa inyong handout sa kanyang biography later. Sinabi niya, I was valuable to the president because I was willing to be ruthless in getting things done. One widely quoted statement from Colson during the time na Nixon was working for his re-election. Si Nixon ay na-re-elect ng 1972 dahil talagang maganda yung kanyang nagawa. So, ang isang widely quoted statement ni Colson sa mga media ay sinabi niya, I am willing to have my grandmother run over just to re-elect Nixon. Well, of course, he meant it for joke, pero you can see the ruthlessness of this man. Sasagasaan daw niya lola niya kung kailangan para lang ma-re-elect itong si Nixon. Well, that's how close Colson was to Richard Nixon. Then it happened. In June 1972, there was ang tawag nila roon, a third-rate burglary of the Democratic National Committee headquarters, which led to the arrest of 5 men. Itong lugar na kung saan nandoon yung National Democratic Committee ng the Democratic Party, yan yung kalabang party ng Republican Party. So naghahanda pa lang ang Republican Party for election, nilooban itong Democratic Party, medyo amateurish yung panloloob, nahuli sila. At parang burglary lamang yun, pero one thing led to another, at sari-sari na yung na-expose, and it came to be known by the name of the building complex ng kung saan nandun yung National Democratic Party. Yung building complex na yun ang tawag ay Watergate. Now, it came to be known as the Watergate scandal. Eh ngayon, bawat scandal na lang, mapapansin nyo, nilalagyan ng gate. Iran gate, Contra gate, Hillary gate. Kasi yung pinaka-original talagang scandal ay itong Watergate scandal. So, this was a terrible scandal. Again, one of the political events na talagang fascinating basahin ay itong Watergate scandal. And that scandal, of course, led to many expose. Ang tanong pa noon, up to what extent ito dumarating until hindi na maiwasan ay na-expose na ang pinakautak ay yung presidente mismo. The president, and then na-expose din that itong si Nixon, palibasa, gusto niyang nasa control niya ang lahat, that Nixon had a taping system in the White House so that everybody who talked was taped, recorded. And what he didn't realize was that it came back to him. Pati siya recorded. Eh, si Nixon, kung magsalita yan, ay maraming curse words. I visited yung kanyang library museum in Linda, Yorba, California. At andun yung kanyang mga memorabilia, pero Nixon became one of the most condemned men in the history of U.S. politics because of this. So, na-expose, nagkaroon ng labanan niya sa Supreme Court, at doon sa Supreme Court ay sinabi na kailangan i-release niya yung mga tapes, wala siyang itatago. Nung i-release na yung tapes, meron doon punto na burado, yung mga talagang incriminating. There was obstruction of justice. He should know that. He was a brilliant lawyer. Then, dumating na sa investigasyon ng Kongreso, and nagkaroon na ng mga sari-sari pa rin expose ng bayaran, pananakot, paggamit ng FBI, etc. hanggang sa si support just lost doon sa Congress, and it became inevitable that he would be impeached. But before that impeachment came, at least Nixon had finally the delicadeza to resign. The first and so far the only president of the United States who resigned from office, August 8, 1974. Well, itong si Nixon, bago pa siya na-condemn, sunod-sunod na yung mga tauhan niya ang nakundina. 26 of the president's men in all were found guilty. The very first who had to spend time in prison was the hatchet man, Charles Colson. Si Charles Colson ang pinakaunang na nagbuno ng panahon sa kulungan. He was imprisoned. Doon sa prison, yet bago pa siya nakulong, may isa siyang kaibigan na nagbigay sa kanya ng libro. Yung libro na yun ay C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. Doon sa Mere Christianity na yun, Ang ginawa nga nung kaibigan niya ay binasa yung, kasi naghahanda na siya, ikukulong na siya, sentensyado na siya. He's just preparing to go to prison. Binasa nung kaibigan niya yung isang passage kay C.S. Lewis, and it's there on your handout, that passage from Mere Christianity. Ito raw yung talagang ang lakas nung dating sa kanya. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. For pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. And according to Charles Colson, this was what hit him very hard. He was exposed for the proud man that he was. Yung talagang kayabangan niya, talaga namang intelektual, makapangyarihan, napakalapit sa presidente, lahat na ay nandoon. And now he's falling from the highest to the lowest fall. Ito yung ginamit ng Panginoon para siya ay i-convert. Kaya nga isang bagay na talagang naniniwala akong kasangkapan ng Panginoon ay yung mga babasahin na maipamigay natin na hindi natin alam how the Lord will use that. So Charles Colson pleaded guilty ng obstruction of justice, and in 1974, he spent 7 months in Alabama Maxwell Prison. The penalty in fact included $5,000, and he was disbarred from legal practice in D.C. So pag samasamahin mo yun, talagang malaking kahihiyan ito. Hindi bali na yung pera, pero a doctor of laws, a great lawyer, a lawyer for the president, now disbarred. Such an embarrassment. And now prisoner. But it was here in prison that he saw many injustices done to prisoners, as well as the shortcomings of rehabilitation. And it was there that he found his vocation in life. Not only in terms ng becoming a preacher, teacher of the word, he found his vocation in life as a man who will found prison fellowship. Ito yung tinuturing ngayon na isa sa pinakamalaking organization with a charitable orientation sa buong mundo. So he founded prison fellowship upon release from prison, and also he became a popular speaker, author. He's written a lot of books, and in his prison reform, he was against what he called the lock 'em, leave 'em warehousing approach. Basta ilock mo sila, tapos iwanan mo, bahala sila. Yun ang kanyang nilabanan. Nakita niya yung masamang epekto sa mga prisoners. Instead, he helped create faith-based prisons through voluntary participation of inmates. So, pinagsama-sama niya yung mga pare-pareho yung pananampalataya para hindi ma-impose sa iba yung ayaw nila. And this also led to what is known as the Interchange Program. Itong Interchange Program ay tinuturuan, nagba-Bible study sa mga prisoners, pero hindi lang Bible study, kundi binibigyan sila ng kabuhayan and also try to change their lives. And one effect of this, and this is statistical evidence, ito nga ipinresent niya kay President George W. Bush in 2003. At with statistical evidence, he showed that through this program, yung mga dumaan sa programa na to had very much less recidivism than those who did not undergo this program. Recidivism ay yung pagkatapos ng prison term ay bumalik din sa kanyang krimen. Bumalik din sa kanyang masamang pamumuhay. Yun ang tinatawag na recidivist. At maraming ganyan. Yung recidivism daw ay nasa 25-30%, pero yung mga dumaan sa Interchange Program ni Colson ay nasa 4% less. And that's a big gap. At by the way, isa sa mga nakinabang rin ay Muntinlupa. Ewan ko kung inabot nila si Halos Hoss, pero doon ay maraming mga talagang mga may hirap na mga tao na inabot ng kanilang programa. And I read in his book how mali nga yung salitang ginamit niya, Muntinlapa. mukhang dilap, muntin lupa. Siyempre, hindi naman niya alam yon. But the point is, nagbago, maraming nagbago ng mga prisoners doon. Some were converted, others hindi man na-convert yet, nabago yung buhay nila, nabigyan ng panibagong pag-asa at panibagong pananaw sa buhay. And these are prisoners, and these are people whom Charles Colson, because of his own experience, was able to reach out. And so from then on, talagang doon niya ginugol yung kanyang panahon dito sa prison fellowship, apart from the many other ways he has been influencing the public. He has received, in fact, many public recognition for what he has done. The most prominent being the Templeton Prize. Alam niyo, Templeton Prize has the largest cash gift, larger than Nobel, na ibinibigay, more than $1 million. Yet, all of those, Colson donated to the prison fellowship rather than to his own money. And until now, he continues to be an active voice for conservative evangelical issues. Through his many books, he has a syndicated column and a radio broadcast named or titled Breakpoint. So, yan ang storya ni Colson. Now, let me just say na hindi lang yung ginagawa niya for prisoners, an influence of Colson has to do with issues of ethics. I use a lot of his writings for my subject of ethics, especially yung kanya mga views concerning government. And I gave you sa handout yung two lower quotations concerning his views. Today's misspent enthusiasm, he said, for political solutions to the moral problems of our culture arises from a distorted view of both politics and Christianity. Too low a view of the power of a sovereign God and too high a view of the ability of man. It ignores the consistent lesson of history that shows that laws are most often reformed as a result of powerful spiritual movements, not vice versa. I know of no case where a spiritual movement was achieved by passing laws. It's a very good point and very relevant ito sa atin. Tayong mga Pilipino, basta may problema, gobyerno, laging sisi ang gobyerno, kasalanan ng gobyerno. Hindi tayo makatingin sa sarili natin, ano yung dapat baguhin sa ating karakter. And then later on, he was quoted by Stephen Curtis Chapman in his song, Heaven in the Real World. Where is the hope? I meet millions of people who feel demoralized by the decay around us. The hope that each of us has is not in who governs us, or what laws we pass, or what great things we do as a nation. Our hope is in the power of God working through the hearts of people. And that's where our hope is in this country. And that's where our hope is in life. Another very relevant thought during these elections. Lagi natin, sinong magtatanggal ng kahirapan? Sinong magtatanggal ng pagnanakaw? Pag messianic na puput off ako, they're not messiahs. I hope they give us good governance, but they're not messiahs of society. And we need to remember that the real hope is in God. Now, let us just remind ourselves that Jesus had compassion for prisoners. In fact, sa itaas ng ating handout, I quoted the way Jesus identified himself with prisoners. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. That's how he commended his people. On the other hand, I was a stranger. You did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And in both counts, when he was asked, when did we see you? Yung sabi niya, as you have not done this to one of my brethren, you have not done this to me. What was Jesus doing there? He was identifying himself with prisoners. Not only that, he portrayed his kingdom rule in terms of release and liberation from bondage, including prison. See, ginamit niyang larawan yun. Anong ibig sabihin yan? Ibig sabihin yan, if you realize yourself to be a sinner, you cannot stand with self-righteous gloating at the state of prisoners. They deserve that. They get what they deserve. Maybe they do. But you deserve likewise in terms ng God's punishment. And that's what one Puritan meant when he saw one criminal about to be executed, yung sinabi niya, there go I, but for the grace of God. At yun dapat ang attitude natin, hindi yung they deserve what they get, or they get what they deserve, but rather, there go I, but for the grace of God. Then the picture na ginamit ay itong release from prison. Not only that, it may be that in a more repressed situation na mangyari sa atin, God forbid, it may be that faithfulness to the Word of God may mean for some of us going to prison. And the Bible tells us to be ready. Some of you, sabi sa Revelation 2:10, will be in prison. And so, for Christians, therefore, compassion is to be exercised in sympathy for those in prison. Hebrews 13:3, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. So, sinabi natin sa mga nakaraan with respect to lepers, compassion reaches out to those who are cast out of society. With regard to women, compassion reaches out to those who are oppressed. Sa children, compassion reaches out to the little ones, the small ones in society. Well, with respect to prisoners, the lesson here is that compassion serves those who are most condemned in society. Yung kinukondena sa lipunan ay siyang ating handang pagsilbihan kung bigay sa atin ang gayong pagkakataon. And let us have the faith that Colson has in the power of the spiritual. My last quote from him on the top of our handout, the only real solution is spiritual. It is forgiveness, repentance, and making restitution, actively pursuing good for our former enemy. Only Christianity provides the power to transform the world by embracing God's truth, understanding the physical and moral order He has created, lovingly contending for the truth with our neighbors, then having the courage to live out in every walk of life, boldly, and yes, joyously. And Colson is doing that. How old would he be now? 1931? Oh, my father's age, 79. And yet he's still going on with a robust, vibrant Christian faith, serving the prisoners of which he was once, and influencing for the faith. Sana tawagin tayo ng Panginoon sa mga ganyang pagkakataon. Now, any question, any thought, perhaps any experience of being imprisoned or serving the condemned? Hindi lang prisoners, who else you might consider condemned in society? Any thought?
Pastor, hindi spiritual, pero di ba mayroong yung dancing inmates dun sa Cebu City. I was just thinking, kasi ngayon ang issue, hindi na sila pwedeng magsayaw kasi daw ang daming donations at naging parang source of corruption na rin ang nangyayari. I think there was a quarrel, there's a quarrel between the governor and the brother who started it. I was saying, Pastor, kasi yung ganun, would it... Yung mga prisoners, kaya sabi ko hindi spiritual because it has nothing to do with the gospel. Pero would it better for them to have those kinds of activities, yung mga prisoners, than
yes,
do nothing at all?
And it only proves again how exploited they are by those who have oversight sa kanila, na yun lang ganung bagay na, alam nyo, napaka... it became one of the most downloaded sa YouTube yung ginawa nilang sayaw, especially nung dumating yung choreographer ni Michael Jackson. But wouldn't that be better than leave them to their gangs and rumbles sa mga prison? Mas mabuting gugulin nila sa ganung bagay na nakakalibang pa sa iba, rather than pabayaan sila ng kanilang mga gang wars doon sa loob ng prison house. Pero nakakalungkot nga na dahil nag-click, nagkaroon mga donation, ayan na, andyan na yung mga dapat may oversight sa kanila at may pag, pagmamalasakit sa kanila ay sila ngayon ang nag-uunahan na pagsamantalahan sila. It's really sad.
Gusto ko lang po ikwento yung karanasan ko. Ako po ay fourth year high school na ito or first year college. Sumasama po ako sa tatay ko noon sa Gideon's. Nakapasok po ako sa Quezon City Prison. Diyan po sa likod na Ramon Magsaysay High School. Makikita po doon yung effort ng mga nasa loob na maging normal yung buhay nila. Kasi pagpasok po doon, parang isang community or village. May kanya-kanya rin silang sekta, mga simbahan. Isang corner, limbawa, nandun po yung mga Katoliko, sa isang corner mga Muslim. Sa isang corner, meron pong nagba-Bible study. So, ang kagandahan pong nakita namin doon, inaalaw po ng, pinapayagan po ng jail warden na pumasok ang mga Bible study leaders o yung mga nagte-training patungkol sa mga business, kung gusto matuto ng isang craft, gano'n. Ang impact po sa akin noon, nung time na yun, sinusubukan po ng ating gobyerno maging normal ang buhay ng isang preso sa loob habang para pag sila po ay nakalaya, ay maka-integrate sila kaagad sa society. Yun po, ang isang karanasan ko tungkol sa...
And I would say that is most likely an extension of Colson's system na sinabi niyang dapat ipatupad sa mga prison ay faith-based groupings ng mga prisoners dahil yun ang mas magkakasundo-sundo yung mga prisoners. Yun ang naranasan niya doon sa Alabama at kung ganyan ang pag-aayos ngayon sa maraming prison houses around the world, that's part of Colson's impact na faith-based arrangement ng mga prison house. I also had, nung ako'y bata pa, I had many times been not inside but in the premises ng Quezon City, Manila City Jail. Doon talagang very indecent yung situation. Ang nakakalungkot dito, yung jail system, yan yung mga on trial pa lang. Hindi pa sila sentensyado. Yung mga sentensyado na, yan ang inililipat sa Muntinlupa. Muntinlupa, ang ganda. May para kang nasa baryo niyan. Nakulungan, pero malaki yan. Para kang nakatira din sa isang bayan, sa isang town na maliit. Pero much more convenient. And they are the ones who are already sentenced. Yan ay mga sentensyado. Mas convenient. Yung mga hindi pa sinisentensyahan, on trial pa lang, jail system, kawawang kawawa ang mga kalagayan ng nasa jail system natin. At yan ang sinasabi ng mga nasa justice system, one thing considered as big factors ay yung jail system. At isa yan sa pwede na kung meron kayong pagkakataon, opportunity and provision, one ministry ay dyan sa mga jail system. Vic. Here.
Gusto ko lang din, Pastor, i-share na nakapasok na rin po ako sa Muntinlupa. Pero sa labas, sa loob, dun sa may maximum security area nila, may dinalaw kami noon. Pero very strict talaga doon, talagang kinakapaan ka before ka pumasok. Pero babae naman yun kumapa sa amin. Tapos pati yung pagkain namin, tinitingnan kung tinutusok-tusok pang ganun, kung merong, baka kung anong meron sa pagkain. Pero ang striking doon, kahit isa lang yung aming dinalaw, talo mo pa ang may loudspeaker na nandyan merong dalaw si ganun. Na talagang yung natakot nga ako nun kasi naps ako kinuha. Parang yung sumasalubong ba na bata. Sinalubong kami, tapos pinasa-pasa yung bag ko. Hindi ko alam kung saan na nakarating. I mean, hanggang sa dumating kami dun sa binisita namin, nandun na yung bag ko. Pero dun nakikita mo yung kasabikan nila na may dalaw. Ganun, yun talagang magugulat ka na hindi naman kayo ang dinadalaw namin. Pero kahit isa lang talagang broadcasted na may dalaw si ganun. Tapos lahat masaya sila. So, dun ka maano na nakakaawa itong mga to, especially yung mga hindi dinadalaw doon. So, andun yung pananabik sa kanila na may dadalaw man lang at least sa kanila. Pero dun ko rin nakita na sabi nga ni Pastor, parang may mga community, so they call it brigada, na talagang malalaki, parang barracks, parang ganun. Pero talaga may mga rooms sila. Decente naman dun sa maximum security area sa Munti. Pero yung meron silang palengke that time, noon lang ako nakakita ng pinakamaitim na bigas. Pinagbebenta sa palengke. Walang sinabi yung brown rice natin. Wala pang brown rice then. That was like 10 years ago. Tapos, ang nakakalungkot, nasa Smagaw pati yung lapad. 100 piso ang isang lapad. When in fact, that was only around 10 pesos yata. So, naipupuslit din. Pero yun nga, yun, nakakaawa yung condition nila na sabik sila sa dalaw man lang. Kahit hindi kanilang dalaw, they're very happy to see visitors around.
Okay, thank you, Vic. That's a good point. Kaya tama yung salitang ginamit natin dito, visiting the prisoners, because that's the service that these people crave most, na meron silang dalaw. Parang yung loneliness nila ay naiibsan sa pamagitan ng mga dumadalaw. Siguro naranasan ng iba yan sa inyo when I was studying in LTS, hindi pa uso email noon. Pero yung bawat estudyante, we were about 30, 40 students, merong mga pigeon hole. Bawat isang name ng student ay nandun yung mga sulat na ilalagay. Every morning, talagang tagsaan kami. Pag wala kang sulat, talagang damang-dama mo. Dahil sila lahat sila, nagkukuhaan na ng kanila, and you find yourself empty, eh, maiyak-iyak ka sa lungkot doon. Eh, ganyan, you're not a prisoner there, pero yung sense ng loneliness, eh, ganun siguro yung mga prisoner natin. Yung loneliness at maiibsan ng ministry at ng dalaw. Other thoughts? Jean.
Pastor, tanong ko lang po yung prison fellowship. Kung mayroong chapter dito sa Philippines. And
I believe so. I think binibase nila sa either Christian organizations, if not churches. But yes, may ministry sila dyan sa Muntinlupa. And nakapunta na rito si Charles Colson, I think, twice. Go ahead.
The reason why I ask, magandang mag-connect doon kasi they... if you are thinking of engaging dun sa prison ministry, kasi alam nila yung mga dapat gawin, yung mga dapat i-observe at mga hindi dapat i-violate, yung parang ganon. So, isip ko
yes,
lang
if na. If you had the opportunity, we would be happy to make that connection. O kung meron tayo opportunity rito, kung bigyan tayo ng open door, sa prison dito sa Los Baños, sa Laguna, kung sino yung may ganyang gift na mag-minister sa mga prisoner, lalo na't mukha kang kakosa. May magandang opportunity yun. If we are given the opportunity, we should be willing. Other thoughts? Yes, G.
Meron po kasing asawa yung tiya ko. Di parang tiyo ko na rin yun. He used to be the mayor ng town. And then may anak siyang 2 police. Pero yung anak niyang bunso is medyo wayward. So parang they looted a store ng Hating Gabi. So nahuli. All the while, akala nung anak dahil may influence kahit papano yung tatay previously. And then yung 2 kapatid na police. Pero nag-decide yung father na kinausap yung mga anak niyang pulis na hayaang hulihin yung anak niya at talagang ikulong. It was very difficult sa family na yung sariling ama pa yung nagpapakulong nung sariling anak. But it was good for, hindi para sa family, but doon sa wayward na anak. Kasi kailangan maranasan niya yung magutuman doon, hindi dadalawin ng kahit sino. At lalo na yung hindi gagamitin yung influence ng family.
Yes, so I'm sure that's a big decision. Kung nagkasala yung isang anak ay ipakulong, I'm sure the father must have thought a great deal sa hakbangin na yun. So may ang sinasabi natin dito, yung prison ay maaring gamitin ng Panginoon for correction. And kaya nga't maganda na matutukan din ng maayos yung magagawa para sa prison and prisoners for the purpose na mapabago pa yung kanilang buhay. Ang nangyayari kapag lumalala ang kondisyon sa prison, yung makulong doon, sa halip na makorek, lumalala rin. Are there outsider experiences or who else can we consider outside, apart from prisoners themselves who can be considered like them are condemned in society? Na kagaya nila ay makaminister tayo sa kanila. Sino pa apart from prisoners? Jojo.
Share ko lang, Pastor, yung tatlo siguro experience to sa pakikipag-usap ko. Una po yung karanasan ko nung meron akong kaibigan na kalaro ko siya sa basketball. Talagang very close kami. He was charged ng raping ng kanyang anak. Nakulong siya. Tapos while in prison, namatay yung asawa niya. Dinalaw ko siya, sabi ko sa kanya. Christian na po ako, sabi ko sa kanya, ito yung problema, sabi ko gano'n. Namatay na yung asawa mo, sabi ko sa kanya. Sabi ko sa kanya, kung may problema ka man, sabi ko, idulog mo sa Panginoon, sabi ko gano'n. Tapos umiyak siya. And then siguro twice ko siyang dinalaw. Tapos nalaman ko na lang, na-release siya at na-convert. Ngayon po ay aktibo siya sa pagiging Kristiyano niya. Napawalan sala siya. Yung isa naman po ay, nung ako nag-drive ng jeep minsan, inarkila ko ng mga apo fraternity. Sabi sa akin, kuya, arkilahin ka namin. Sabi ko, saan? Pupunta tayo sa kulungan. Sabi ko, bakit? Anong gagawin natin? Sabi niya ganun. Dadalaw tayo, sabi niya ganun. Tapos dumaan kami sa Kalamba, pagdaan po namin sa Kalamba, namili sila ng napakaraming damit, chinelas, t-shirt, paalang maliit. Isang jeep, sinakay doon sa jeep ko. Dila namin sa may Kalamba, doon sa may turbina doon sa likod, malayang malayo. Doon ko nalaman po na may malaking kulungan doon, napakataas, tabing ilog. Pinamigay nila ng libre. Sabi niya, kuya, taon-taon namin itong ginagawa. Pinamigay namin kasi wala silang chinelas, walang damit, walang ano. Natutulog, minsan hubad yung mga yan. Tulong na natin yan, common. Sabi niya, hindi common nakakulong sila, wala na silang pag-asa o di na dapat silang bigyan ng kalinga. So, binigyan nila, Pastor, ng ano. And then, isang kaibigan ko po, merong kamag-anak na nakulong sa Santa Cruz. Sabi niya, nakakaawa, brother, dun yung walang dalaw. Talagang yung kinukwento po niya, parang kaawa-awa. Ang isa pong maganda ron na nakita niya, sabi niya, pag doon may dala kang pagkain, doon isang inmate, alimbawa po isang stick ng sigarilyo, although hindi tayo dyan, no? Yung pong sigarilyo yun, kung ilan man po yung ka-inmate noon, iikot lahat doon. Naglaki ng pagkain, ganun din po yun. Lahat makakatikim. Kahit sinong dalaw, kahit sinong dumalaw, makakatikim po lahat. Anong ibig sabihin po nun? Talagang ganun po sila katalaga nangangailangan. Kaya po yung bonding nila, sinishare din po doon. So pinapakita po doon na sana kung tayo ngayon pagkakataon, dalaw tayo magbigay para ma-provide yung ibang pangailangan nila. Ganun talaga yung pangailangan nila. Kaya yung kanilang karakter doon, sharing talaga po. Kahit isang candy lang daw po talagang umiikot eh. Ganun yung ano nila. May mga nagba-Bible study rin po doon. Kaya nga sabi po, kung may pagkakataon kayo o tayo, magdalaw tayo. Ganun.
Okay, thank you, Jojo. Kung meron tayong ganung pagkakataon, let us not miss the opportunity if we are given that open door. Huwag tayong umiwas dahil sa takot tayo sa mga prisoners. Mga tao sila at may parehong pangangailangan natin ng fellowship, community, and caring. Any last thoughts? Experience with a condemned. Sino pang maiaano natin besides prisoners are suffering condemnation? Tess?
Ako po ay nakaranas sa dumalaw sa loob ng Mandaluyong, Pastor, sa National Mental Hospital. Doon po, may segregation yung mga in despair lamang at saka yung talagang masama na ang lagay. Pagpasok ko po sa pasilyo, natakot ako kasi ang daming kamay na gumanon. Yung mataas na pader, daming kamay na parang manghihindikan ka ng balahibo talagang. Daming kamay na parang nagmamakaway mga kamay na yun. Walang words, pero kamay lang. Siyempre, dinaanan ko lang yon, mataas ang pader. At doon sa pinuntahan ko talaga, ay nakita ko maraming sila, panay mga lalaki, tapos nakahiga lang sa ganun. Ay sa mga ano po, sa mga... Nakaranas ako doon na nung makita kami ng ate ko, yung naghubad as in tanggal lahat ng ano, mga ganun, tipong baliwala na sa iba yon. Parang, pero ang aking ano, to relate it to our, kung siguro po yung mga group of, hindi naman prisoners ang tawag sa kanila, group of patients na yon na mga medyo in despair lamang, baka may pag-asa pa siguro sa gospel na kung ano man ang ating...
Okay, thank you, Tess. That's a good parallel, yung mga inmates sa mental penitentiaries ay madalas rin. Yung mga kamag-anak, ayaw nilang ma-associate na meron silang ganung kamag-anak. Kuminsan pagkatapos ma-commit sa penitentiary ay kinakalimutan na, paalagaan na lang. And that, of course, is not a Christian attitude. Any other thought? Any other parallel? So prisoners, mental cases, what else would we tend to condemn that we should not? Siguro kasama na rin dyan, I've read stories of, ito lang recent days, ay nabasa ko yung struggle ng isang teacher sa mga estudyante na talagang mga sutil. And there is the tendency to just condemn these people, ganyan na yung mga yan. But this particular teacher sought ways, in creative ways, to reach out dito sa mga estudyante talagang masamang magtrato ng kanilang teacher. And the teachers tend to return in kind. Yung kasutilan ng estudyante, siya ang may otoridad, yung teacher sutil na rin sa kanyang mga estudyante, and we tend to condemn. Pero itong nabasa kong story, gumawa siya ng iba't ibang paraan, including visiting the house of this particular naughty student. At doon, unti-unting bumigay itong estudyante na ito sa caring na ipinakita ng kanyang teacher. And siguro, that's one other possibility na we can consider easy to condemn and just leave them to themselves. But care and love and compassion may do otherwise that condemnation cannot do. Isa yan yung quotation na ginamit ko last month, if you remember, na compassion will can cure what condemnation will not. So, meron pa? Well, sana gamitin natin to, including naging challenge sa atin yung mga sinabi ni Colson concerning government and the philosophy of power. This is very good stuff. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa kwentong ito ng buhay ni Colson kung paano ang isang taong mula sa kapangyarihan ay binagsak ng kanyang kasalanan. Ngunit muli mong ibinangon at sa iyong biyaya ay iniligtas, at sa pamagitan din ng biyayang ito ay ginamit mong kasangkapan upang abutin ang mga dating kapwa niya ay mga bilanggo. Nawa, Panginoon, maging hamon ang buhay niyang ito at maging hamon sa amin na kami man, kung bigyan mo ng pagkakataon ay makapanilbihan sa mga bilanggo o mga katulad nila na madaling kondinahin sa lipunan. Sa halip na umiral sa amin ang pagkondina, ay nawa, kagaya ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo, maramdaman namin ang kahabagan para sa kanila. Grant, Lord, that we may know compassion where it is easy to condemn. And grant that we would see our own position as sinners, as those who, just like criminals, there go we, but for the grace of God. So grant that this compassion will extend to prisoners, to the condemned, to the needy of our society. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.